Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
So we're continuing our preview of the Qatar World Cup, which gets underway in less than a month. And today we're going to take a look at what fans can expect if they're travelling to the finals. The Republic of Ireland may not have qualified, unfortunately, but our nearest neighbours, England and Wales, will have about 6,000 travelling fans. So where will they be staying? And just what facilities will be available for them? Well, once again, I'm joined in the studio by Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the42.ie. And I'm also joined on the line by Ashley Brown, who's head of the Fan Embassy team at the Football Supporters Association. And Ashley recently travelled to Qatar to see the facilities at hand. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. So, Gavin, first up, I mean, we know from what we've heard earlier this week, this will be a World Cup like no other. And the fans will have an experience like they haven't had before.
Mm, which I'm not sure is a good thing or a bad thing.
That's it. This is what you're here to explain.
It's going to be unlike anything else. I mean, you can see there's not as much anticipation or excitement among fans for this World Cup. Just know they're travelling in fewer numbers than expected, which I kind of find that a little bit sad. You know, like you don't need to tell Irish people how important your first World Cup is. Like, we built economic and political theories out of going to Italia 90. Like, it's really important, but it's so hard for fans, certainly in this part of the world. Like Wales, this is their first World Cup since 1958, but there was more interest in tickets to go to Euro 2016 just because it's so far away and because it's so expensive. So I think that does rob them of something. And I know we didn't qualify, but at least our first ever World Cup, or first in decades, wasn't in Qatar. You know, like,
yes,
Joxer Goes to Doha is a much shorter song.
Now, for you, you are going, you're going as a journalist. What was that process like? Were you told anything unusual in terms of what to expect?
Not necessarily, really. We did have to agree to terms and conditions when we were applying for the visa. Now, I wasn't applying as a video journalist. I was just going as a print reporter. So there weren't really any onerous restrictions on us, as far as I can remember, as regards where we could and couldn't film. We were told we couldn't film in private residences and in religious buildings. I know video journalists have seemingly been asked to sign up to kind of more stringent measures that have been criticised. Speaking to The Guardian last week, saying they have a chilling effect, which obviously have been refuted by the Qatari authorities. And so that's about it, really. Mm-hmm. And then we have to, I'll be on edge the next few weeks because I do have to pass a COVID test a couple of days before I go, and then we have to sign up to some COVID tracker app.
Yes, I did see that unusually now where we are, they do have COVID restrictions in place, don't they, still?
Yeah.
For people who are travelling. And you'll be reporting then for the42.ie.
I'll be there for the42. And Claire, I know I've been talking about how shameless FIFA have been for the last couple of days, but I will do some shameless plugging now in your programme if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We're going. And obviously everything on the42 is free, but we have bonus material behind our membership scheme. So sign up, members.the42.ie, for extra podcast newsletters. It's €5 a month or €42 a year.
Yeah, I have to pay for Gavin, you see, in his bonus material. So Ashley, to you now, and you have the inside track on this because you travelled there last month, was it, just to check out what fans can expect?
Yeah, I was there back in September with some colleagues, absolutely.
So what was it like?
Well, I guess we'll start with accommodation. It's a little bit different to your normal World Cup. Most people tend to sort of look for hotels and stay in hotels, but there isn't the capacity in Doha. We've got 32 teams, media teams, fans, all in effectively what's really a small city, not even a small country. So all of the hotels were taken up by FIFA, and fans were left to try and find apartments and villas. There's a lot of apartments and villas being specifically built. But then the other accommodation, which is in fact the cheaper accommodation, is effectively rows of porter cabins built on the edge of the city, so basically in the desert. That's going to cost you around about $100 per person per night. That's if you're sharing a cabin with somebody else. You need to get a bus to get into Doha, a bus to get to the stadiums, bus to get to sort of any sort of sign of life, really. That's not the most exciting place to stay for a World Cup. If you happen to have a few more quid, you can maybe stay on one of the cruise ships. There's a couple of cruise ships that they're parking at the dock there. But then you're probably getting into a bill that's going to take you into sort of thousands of of pounds, yes. thousands of euros if you do that.
The old cruise ship is probably a very luxurious option. And did you get a look at these porta cabins?
We didn't manage to get to see the porta cabins. I have seen pictures. I have spoken to other journalists that have seen them. And quite frankly, they were still in. They're still being built when I last spoke to somebody that had seen them. Not so much the actual cabins; they're there, but the infrastructure around them. So, if you can imagine, people expect to get Wi-Fi. That's quite important. Understand their problems with Wi-Fi. People expect to have some sort of food and drink outlets that are around there as well. They weren't there yet. We're told they will be. But it's you're not going to feel really in amongst the World Cup if you're staying out in those cabins, sadly. Mm-hmm.
And Gavin spoke about this sort of lackluster atmosphere around the fan experience and what it will be. Do you agree that that's the case?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the thing with Qatar, I mean, let's be honest, a big part of a football tournament is going to have a few beers with your friends, meeting supporters from other countries. And although Qatar does have access to alcohol, all of the bars are tucked away in the 4 or 5 star hotels. Some of them will be closed because of the teams, et cetera, that's staying there. So there'll be additional security. The capacity isn't huge. And if you do manage to get yourself into a bar, you probably find yourself paying between £12 and £15 for a pint.
What?
Which is pretty expensive. Yeah.
That is insane. Up to £15 for a pint of lager.
Yeah, unless you manage to get in a happy hour. They do run happy hours, although we're told a lot of bars are stopping those for the World Cup. Happy hour, you might be lucky enough to get a pint for £7 or £8.
Mm-hmm. And Gavin, they have these fan zones set up.
Yeah.
What will they look like?
Sorry, I'm just at £15 a pint, I'm going to lapse into productivity out there.
Absolutely. You're not having any of that.
Yeah, there's going to be fan zones. They're FIFA organised and obviously it's FIFA sponsors only, so they're only going to be serving Budweiser. There is one such fan zone you can get in, and I think it's £75, the equivalent, at the door, and get in, and you're still paying for your beer after that.
What? That's
yeah.
Outrageous.
So, like, I was just thinking, like, if the Qatari authorities want to justify their attitude to alcohol among their local population, there's no great experiment than just giving them nothing but Budweiser for a month. You know, that'll justify it. Sorry, I'm being unfair there. Yeah, there is a fan zone with an alcohol license. It's open from 6:30 to 1 a.m. I think there's a separate one. The one that you pay for £75 for, that's open from 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. and it's got a capacity of 15,000.
Okay, so £75 gets you in, but doesn't get you anything else. Just gets you in the door.
Gives you, sweet FIFA-sponsored beer.
And Ashley, there's a big concern amongst fans, I know, as to whether they'll be able to watch games on TV when they're over there because of this issue around the broadcasting rights and the costs that venues will incur. And some of those venues, the hotels and the bars, they've decided not to sign up for the rights to broadcast the games.
That's right. There's something we discovered on the trip out there. It was a bit of a surprise. Clearly, most of the World Cup games tend to be free to air in a lot of countries. What we found out on our last visit is that actually the hotels and bars are being charged a premium. So one of the hotels we spoke to were being asked to spend about 100,000 reals, which is around about, I guess, 25,000, 27,000 euros or something.
Mm-hmm.
Per bar. So if they have multiple bars and they had four that they were intending to show football in, it's going to cost them 100,000 euros. And on top of that was an additional premium to watch the games in your room. So I mentioned earlier that a lot of people will be in apartments and villas. And I think that you'll just expect to be able to go in there and flick the TV on and watch the games. And if we're honest, there isn't a much great deal more to do in Qatar than watch the games.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably find you can't watch it. It'll be a premium channel. You won't have access to it. And you're going to have to plod out, try and find a way to get into one of the fan festivals or into one of the bars to even see games. That's a real letdown for us. And we have lobbied the Supreme Committee on that. But it isn't going to change, I don't think.
The Qatari authorities obviously expected some very wealthy fans to travel there for the World Cup.
Yes, they did, and there will be. Saudi Arabia, I think, is sold more tickets than anybody, and I don't think they're short of a few bob.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, actually, which is a bit of an unknown, is in the greater region, so Dubai, Abu Dhabi, etc., there is over 100,000 British passport holders working, and a lot of those will have probably pretty good salaries, and I'm sure there'll be Scottish and Irish there as well. And what we don't know is how many of them have bought tickets. So we're pretty sure that the numbers supporting England and Wales will be swelled from the 2,000 or 3,000 that we expect to travel from the UK by a lot of those locals. And they will have a bit more money to spend. But if you're an average fan, your person that sort of travels around the world watching England or watching Wales, it's going to be tough on the pocket.
There's a question mark as well, Gavin, isn't there, around how fan behaviour will be policed, what will be allowed, what will, won't be allowed?
Yeah, I mean, the line from the Supreme Committee is that there will be a lighter touch on everything, and everything, you know, within limits, you know, once you're not causing destruction, once you're not disorderly, etc., it will be lighter touch. But, you know, that's rhetoric. You have to see the reality. And I think, again, when we talk about this lackluster atmosphere among supporters and just a little bit slightly queasy feeling, people don't really know how that will play out in real time. You know, I mean, it's grand for the committee to say one thing, but, you know, there'll be certain attitudes among security services and police on the ground. Is that automatically going to change? Now, the police are in Qatar have been working, I think, with police in the UK as regards, and, you know, just to learn how to police a football crowd and how to protect them while also, like, de-escalating everything. You know, don't act in such a way that might escalate things, because they, you know, the police on the ground wouldn't be necessarily used to that, because there is football in Qatar, but it's not followed by the kinds of numbers that it would be in Britain, in Western Europe and in South America.
And they're not used, Ashley, to people taking their shirts off in stadiums. That's something that they might struggle to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gavin's absolutely spot on with what he said about them not being used to policing football crowds. And, we, you know, it's also worth pointing out they've had to bring in security from other countries, such as Pakistan. But on the shirts off thing, that was perhaps one of the strangest conversations we had when we met with the security team in Qatar last month. And we raised the scenario about the football fan that, you know, takes his top off because it's hot, or takes his top off in celebration, or takes his top off just because he shows off his football tattoos, which some of them do. And they said, well, they'll be ejected from the ground. And, you know, we did raise the point that you're probably going to create a situation that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. It could easily escalate with people being sort of confused about why this person's being removed from around them. And all of a sudden you have a security incident which didn't need to happen, but they were adamant. And in fact, they've since published this as part of their guidance. Shirt off in the ground, you get kicked out.
Right. Okay. No leniency there. Now, there has been much criticism of the LGBT laws that are in place in Qatar. And I want to know what you're going to be advising your fans in a moment, Ashley, on that front. But I just want to play this clip first. Here's the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, speaking last week, reiterating that the World Cup in Qatar is open to everyone.
This FIFA World Cup, a tournament of peace and unity, will be the one that brings the world together after some difficult times. And let me repeat it clearly. Everyone will be welcomed to the tournament, regardless of their origin, background, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or nationality.
Are people confident, though, Ashley, in that statement, and that that will be the case?
Sadly not. I mean, we have a group of LGBT plus England fans that travel regularly away. My understanding is that none of them are going. I think it's similar with the Welsh group as well. We hear the sort of rhetoric from the Qatari officials that everyone is welcome, but if you quiz them on the detail, they don't go into it. And in fact, I read this morning that Peter Thatchell was detained there yesterday
for making
a very minor protest. And it's very disappointing. It's really disappointing from FIFA, to be honest. I think that they have to strengthen their expectations of host countries here. They really need to make sure that we're not sending World Cups to countries with poor human rights records in the areas of workers' rights, LGBT+, etc.
Interesting advice this morning from the British Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly, saying that fans need to respect the host nation. They're trying to ensure, James Cleverly said, that people can be themselves and enjoy the football. Well, they're not, really. And I think that with a little bit of flex and compromise at both ends, it can be a safe, secure and exciting World Cup. That's an instruction to fans to behave themselves.
Yeah, but also not be themselves. You know, you're exactly right to say that that's nonsense, that people can be themselves. And that just adds to this queasy, uneasy feeling about this World Cup, that you're not quite sure what can I do? Like, I mean, you know, if any gay people go to Qatar, they're going to a country in which their sexuality is criminalised. So, you know, that will give them pause for thought. And they've never been explicitly told how they're allowed to act, which, even as I say that, is a crazy thing. You know, it's just one of the most depressing aspects of this World Cup.
All right. Well, look, we're going to be looking at the World Cup again tomorrow. It'll be our final part of our World Cup preview. We'll be looking at the football and how much pressure players will be under playing in a tournament with such a cloud overhanging it, as we've been hearing this week. But for now, Gavin Cooney from The 42, thank you. And Ashley Brown of the Football Supporters Association. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.